Raising Playful Tots, show number 143. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Raising Playful Tots. I'm glad that you could stop by today. My name is Melitza, and welcome to this play space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids. And also so that we can introduce a new play idea. If you're new to the show, welcome. It's good to see you. And hi to the regular playmates. Plenty of room, so come join us as we play with pipe cleaners and straws, thanks to a fantastic idea by dirtandboogers.com. You can find the link to that in the show notes. Last show, I revisited the topic of recess, playtime, and break time. How much daily running around outdoor play activities does your child get when they are in a setting like a daycare, a preschool, or with the nanny or the au pair? Meg Roska had some interesting information about how to do things differently, including helpful advice to help support teachers and educators who use recess or break time or playtime as extra work time. So if you missed that show, pop on over to the blog where you can listen to that show and find the archive of all the shows at raisingplayfultots.com/shows. Well, this week's show, we're talking about practical ways that we can support our children through this new school term. Whether your child is going to school, whether they're homeschooled, or they're a toddler, or all of the ages below, we all need to get prepped for the upcoming season, and that's what we're going to do in this show. We're also going to finish up with a little catch-up. I hope you'll stick around. Thanks, I'll be right back after this break.
Hi, this is Stephanie Langford from keeperofthehome.org, and you're listening to Raising Playful Tots.
Well, hey, welcome back to the show. It's really good to be back behind the microphone and talking to you guys about play activities and fun ways that we can connect with our kids. Well, we're going to look at three specific areas today because we're primarily focusing, because it's September, on ways that we can support our children so that they can have more play activities and we can have more connection times. So the three areas that we're going to look at are plan ahead moments, do-it-yourself moments or do-it-yourself activities, and for those, frustration and anger times. And we know all about those with active toddlers, preschoolers, and young children, that there's a bit of all of those things that can happen all within 5 minutes sometimes. So let's start right at the very beginning. Before we start with the plan ahead moments, happy tummies make more playful tots. So I'm looking at easy snack and lunchtime ideas. So after the glorious summer that we've had and time to spend with our kids, we've had the pick of all the different fruits and vegetables that are around. Now we have to start thinking of packing lunches or preparing lunches for our children while they're at home. And for some of us, that can be a real chore, but all of us often want something new, something different, not just for ourselves. We want to introduce different ideas for the kids too. And we get tired of the old things that are in the cupboard or the things that we see when we're out shopping. So I was cruising around the internet trying to have a look at some ideas. I have my trusted sources and places and things I buy all the time. But I thought, you know what? I wanted to do something different. Keep it playful, keep it useful for the kids, and keep it easy. So I was having a scoot around, and on Instagram I found Momables, M-O-M-A-B-L-E-S. And so I signed up to their weekly plan, where you get a variety of easy ideas prepped ahead and lunchbox packing tips. And so I only signed up about a week ago, and so I've downloaded about 3 weeks worth of menus already and had a good look, and I've had a go at making a few of them. There was a little oat cake that the children have been having in their lunch this week, and they've been really enjoying it, and I have too for my lunchtime snack, and so I like it too. And then it gives you lots of different ideas about snack ideas and lunch ideas that you can do for the kids. So I like to do all sorts of different breads each week, but they also give you quiches and salads and other ideas to actually put together for lunches. And so I thought that that would be a really cool thing to try. So I'm trying it out now and seeing if this is something that we want to continue with long term. It's a subscription-based service, and I think I've signed up for 3 months. You can sign up for a week for free to see if that's what you would want to do. But I'm going to try it out. We're not doing every single day and in every single way, but I'm picking and choosing which ones that I want. And the great thing is, because it comes as PDF, I can just save it and I can pick which ones that I fancy doing and adjust it to what my kids are doing. But I just love the ideas that it's doing already for us. And it's really upped our intake of fruits and vegetables, which we love to eat, but finding a way to get them in the lunchbox, I don't know, just having that PDF has really helped me to do that. So if it's something that you're looking for, happy tummies that make more playful tots, easy snack and lunch ideas, then you really should check out Mama Balls. I've got an easy link for you to go through. It's also an affiliate link. It's raisingplayfultots.com/mamables, M-O-M-A-B-L-E-S, to have a look. And so I'll let you know how we're getting on with that as we keep going through the subscription. Okay, let's look at some plan ahead moments. First up, we're going to look at a simple clock schedule for kids. Now, I really like the clock magnetic scheduler that I found over at fabandfree.com. If you search for simple clock schedule for kids, it's fantastic because we know what kids are like. When we tell them that we're going to do something, then they want to do it right now. And they constantly ask the question, when are we going to do whatever it is? I remember this vividly when we decided this summer that we were going to take our youngest swimming, something that he really, really, really wanted to do for a very long time. And being the third boy, it's really difficult for me to be able to take him by myself because I need to look after all three children. And now the oldest is able to swim by himself, so I can be in charge of two children. But of course, my middle son isn't a strong swimmer. So I was always nervous having to be in the water with one swimmer that's not very strong and one that can't swim at all. And then another one that's swimming wherever he wants to. So we haven't done as much family swimming as we've wanted to do, but that's okay. But this summer, the stars all aligned, as I like to say, and my husband was around and my mum was around too. And so we decided that we would all go swimming and be able to take the little one for a big swimming session by himself. Of course, he's been swimming lots of other times when we've been on holiday and things like that, but actually devote that time to swimming. And oh my goodness, are we going swimming now? Are we going swimming now? Are we going swimming now? That's all we heard all morning up to the point when we decided to take him. It would have been much easier if we had a simple clock scheduler, because then he could see where the time was, because he'd see all the lead up to everything that's going to be happening. And this clock scheduler is really cool. Now, she's made it with just a clock face, and she's written on the clock face our schedule. She's written on all the numbers of the clock as normal, and then she's got little buttons made out of magnetic tape strips from what I can see, and she's doodled little pictures on, like bedtime, getting changed, bath time, food time, and she has a whole load of these different ones. She keeps them on the fridge by the looks of it. And so she's able to put all the different pieces around the schedule, so it's really visual and really easy for her children to be able to see what's going to be coming up. And we should have done that for our swimming trip, and maybe we wouldn't have been pestered so much about when is the right time to come. Poor fella. He knew that it was coming and he was just excited, and we understood the excitement of that time. So that's one thing that you can do, which is have an interactive scheduler, something that can be visual, and that really works with the toddlers, it really works with the preschoolers, and it just helps in general to be able to direct the children to a place where they can see what's going to be happening next. You know, kids have a really hard time. They are pulled and pushed around a lot by what we want to do, and they don't have very many choices about what they can do, and the choices reactions they have usually are to tantrum and stamp and do all the things that stop us from having all the fun times. So being able to see a schedule that's visible, clear for them to follow, not complicated, really simple, something visual, really helps them to feel ownership of the home, what we're doing, and feel part of the family. They'll be able to say questions like, I don't know if I want to do that. I want to do this instead. They won't say it how I would have said it, but they'll point at different things and you'll be able to work out that this is what they really want to do. And that's a really valuable experience that we're doing. So that's one thing that we can really work on with the kids for this school time season, is to get an effective schedule going for them in a clearly visible place that's not too complicated and at their height. Second thing I wanted to talk about was, what is your vision of screen time and playtime for this season? So during the summer, you probably threw the children outside and said, you know, have at it. It's a lovely day. Stay outside, play outside. And they had a great time. Unless it was raining or cold or too hot, then you didn't spend much time on screens. Or maybe you had a terrible time with screens this summer and that's all the children wanted to play on, because they said, like my children said to me, we're on holiday. We should be able to do whatever we want. And so we had an interesting conversation about that one too, about, yes, we're on holiday, but that doesn't mean that we throw everything that we do out of the window and do anything that we want. And so it really made me think about, what do we want as a family and what is our vision of what screen time and playtime looks like? Now, this is an interesting thing. What is your vision? What do you want as a family? Not what your parents think, or your sister and brother, or your friends down the road, or what you think you should be doing. But what do you want as a family for screen time? What will your amount of screen time be? What is your upper limit? What is your minimal limit? What is your no limit? And the other interesting question is, what about playtime? How much playtime do you want the children to actually have? Free, unadulterated playtime where they can just run around and do what they want, choose whatever activities that they want to do, projects that they want to go on, where they can go off on tangents. How many times a week might you want to be able to do that? So that's one thing that I want you to really focus on, having a think through. This is a plan ahead moment. Compare where you were last year with your children, with how much screen time they were having about this time last year, and how much screen time they've just had during the summer. Are we about in the right place? Do you want to decrease that? Is it something that you never noticed before and now you want to work on? The same with playtime. Where were you last year with playtime? Were they having lots and lots of playtime or not enough? And where are you now? And where do you want to get to? So be true to your family values. This is really important. I'm not telling you how much screen time or how much playtime that you should be doing. I want you to be true to your family values and your situation. We're all on different places along this continuum, and you can choose how far that you want to go. Baby steps usually work really well, but some of us really thrive on big changes all at once. You know your family. I think the best thing to do in this situation is to test and try, knowing that we won't know the answer until we've had a few no's and that doesn't work, till we know what really works for us. But the biggest thing is that you want your family to grow and change and become more connected. And the way to do that, the secret to doing that, is our screen time and our playtime and the mix that we have with that. The third plan ahead moment is, dare I say that word, holiday season. I've said it, I know, we're in September. I know most of you have already seen in the shops things that are coming out that make you go, oh my goodness, I can't believe that they're out selling and thinking of that. In fact, lots of people are already saving money towards the holiday season. They're already planning on what they're doing. Some of our relatives are already starting to shop for the holiday season. You might even have started to shop. I've been seeing pumpkin this and pumpkin that appearing in my feed on Pinterest, and lots of seasonal Christmas and Thanksgiving things already creeping in all over the place. And so this isn't the time to be burying our head in the sands, but thinking about what we're going to be doing for the holiday season, how we're going to be coping with that. And the what I want to do with the plan ahead moment for this is, what type of toys and play do you want to see enter your home? Now, this is the perfect time now in September for you to be thinking about that. What types of toys do you want your children to have come into your home in the next 4 to 6 months during this huge holiday season? What type of play do you want them to be doing with those toys or inspired by those toys? Because you are the gatekeeper. It's really easy at this time for the words that you say, the choices that you suggest, will really influence the people that are around you. The conversations that you have, the toys that you talk about, people get the hints from the things that you're saying. So now is the time to be talking about the toys and things that you do like, the things that you do like to do, and that will help you to be able to be the gatekeeper for all the toys and play activities that come into the house, if they are coming into the house during this holiday season. To help you with that, I'd like you to have a look at a printable that will be in the show notes if you go to raisingplayfultots.com/143, which is the number of the show, 143, the number 143. I have a printable there that will help you be able to choose the toys and play ideas that fit with what we talk about here on Raising Playful Tots. These things keep our little ones actively playing in an early childhood sense. And so I've got it there, so you just have to go over there and download it. So we have three plan ahead moments. We've had a magnetic clock scheduler, say that three times fast, and then what is your vision for screen time and play time, comparison of then versus now, and what you want to do. Then the last thing that we looked at was holiday seasons and what type of toys and play do you want to see entering your home and becoming the gatekeeper, as well as a printable, a free printable that helps you be able to choose the play and toy ideas that you would like to see, not just in this holiday season, but because you are listening to Raising Playful Tots, these are the things that we talk about. The second section we looked at, if you remember, the first one was plan ahead moments. The second one is do it yourself. Okay, so do it yourself. The first one is observe and make an evening schedule. So dream what you would like. Come on, think about what would you like for an evening schedule when you've picked up the kids or the kids are with you after being in a setting, or maybe you're switching from your homeschooling work into evening activities. What would you really like? What would be your ideal dream of what you would do? Try out some new things. There's plenty of different ideas around of things that you can add into your evening schedule to kind of make it simpler, to add a new twist on things that you're doing. But I really want you to observe your current evening schedule. From the position that you're in now, which is probably not your evening schedule that you're listening to this show, but to think about, where are the problems that I'm finding? Are the kids really tired? Do I need to move dinner earlier? Do I need to introduce a healthy snack? Are the children bickering and playing over something? Do they need two different activities? Do I need to connect more with them in the evening, or do they need some more separate activities to do? And only you'll be able to answer that for your family. I have some resources to do with evening schedules that I will add to the show notes for you to be able to have a look at. But this is the do-it-yourself part. This is the part where you kind of look at where you are in your evening schedule and think, what do I want? Do I want peace? Do I want calm? Do I want connection? Do I want slowing down? Do I want simple? What is it that you want? Pick one thing and see if you can find a way of changing your schedule so that you have some fun and it will be less tiring and less stressful for you to be able to do. Number two, rotating books and toy schedules. So I want you to get intimate with your calendar and start thinking about when you are going to rotate these rotate these books and toys. Now, we all say that we're going to do it. We all plan on doing it, and some of us have boxes of books or toys all neatly stored in a place, ready to be able to do this, but it doesn't actually happen. And so I just want to give you a few tips on how we can actually do that. If you have a calendar, I have an online calendar that I like to use, Google Calendar, and that's attached to all of my places and phones and things. And I also have a schedule up at home. And so I like to put in to my Google Calendar, and it tells me in a reminder, each season, rotate the books. Sometimes I put a reminder in there, remember next week you are going to rotate the books. And that really helps to actually have a fixed time. 4 times a year, for sure, I will be trying to rotate the books. I will hope to do it more than that, but at least 4 times I am prompted to do that and I attempt to do that. The same with toys. It's just lovely to be able to change the toys over and bring them out. We know how good that is for the kids and how brilliant that is for us to be able to do. It's just actually getting it done. So actually getting intimate with your calendar and sticking it on your calendar so that you can do that. So if that means actually a pen and paper calendar where you write in another season or in 6 weeks' time or whatever your time period is, rotate the toys, then at least it's in there, and when you come up against it, you see it and you know to be able to do it. Books and toy collections. Now, we have lots of books and we have lots of toys. Finding a place to put them all is often a problem, and we want to be simplifying our books and our toys, making use of the library, making use of our friends, sharing and rotating, as I just said in the previous idea. And so this is another do-it-yourself topic where if you actually got all of your books out that you had and piled them all up in the lounge, you would be astonished, I'm sure, to know how many books that you actually have and how many books the children are actually enjoying reading. So maybe this is a good time to start thinking about reducing the amount of books that you have and simplifying the collections that you have and the toy collections that you have. Yes, you can have them out and share them, but also reducing and simplifying also gives just so much more space, not only in your home, but in your mind, to be able to really thrive in play by knowing that you have 1 or 2 books, 5 or 10 books that you can be really engrossed in and that you know so well and you feel so much with the characters. And the same with toys and toy collections, rather than this massive collection of books or massive collection of toys that are all out and all together and the children kind of graze around the sides of them. Now, to help you reduce and simplify your toy collection, I have a nifty 10-day challenge that I have set up for you. And so I just want to share that with you. It's the 10-day toy challenge, and I'll leave the link in the notes to that. And it's a really short audio prompt that you will listen to that takes about a minute, and it gives you an idea about what to do, because I want us to start simply, really simplify. And I use the principles that we have from the Simplicity Parenting work that I do from Kim John Payne and his fantastic book. And we work on one box at a time, simplifying, so we can do it right now. So if you're looking to reduce and simplify every time you step into the garage or the place where you keep all of your books and you go, oh, it's just so overwhelming, there's just so many things, I don't know what to do. If you're looking at the baby toys that you've had stored for ages and ages and thinking, I knew I was meant to do something with it, but it's just too many things to go through, then this is a way that you can break through all of that and actually achieve something one box at a time. So if you're looking for that, please come over and check out the show notes and look for the toy challenge. It's big orange box on my sidebar too for you to be able to look at that. So we've gone through two areas now. The second one was do-it-yourself, and so we've observed and made an evening schedule that we've dreamed out and tried out new things, and we are rotating books and toys on a schedule because we've got intimate with a calendar, and maybe we've decided to do that seasonally, or maybe you've said every 6 weeks or 9 weeks. You've found some way, your way, something that's not overwhelming, something that's not too much. But it's a great way for you to be able to get play effectively done in your house, and we're raising playful tots that enjoy play. We've also looked at books and toy collections, maybe reducing them and simplifying them. And I've done that through a free 10-day audio prompt course that I gave you a link for the show notes. And now we come to the last part for those frustration and anger times. I've seen it a lot, and this summer it's something that we've really thought a lot about doing, and that's the calm down jar. Have you seen them, the calm down jars? This is a jar that's big, and it has a mixture of an oil and a water, usually a colour, and often glitter of some sort. And when children are angry and mad and frustrated and upset, they spend some time with this jar by shaking it up and down, or there's many, many different ways that you can do it, but I've heard that you can shake it up and down, or you shake it and give it to the child. And once all of the glitter moves down to the bottom, it helps them to calm down. And just by watching that motion of all of the glitter pieces moving, it kind of slows down the whole interaction and brings about a happier disposition. Well, that's a theory anyway. And I've seen lots of pictures of these calm down jars about. And we had made something similar, but it wasn't a calm down jar at the time. We had made it as a baby toy for the boys when they were a lot younger, with baby oil and glitter, and they just like to, and water, and they like to just move it up and down, and we'd put blue colouring in there. So at some point, it would separate, and you would get white at the top, and then you would get the blue at the bottom, or vice versa, and just shaking it up and down was really cool. And it is true, they just love to look at that, and it's a bit like zoning out and looking at a fish tank. It really calms you down and changes the whole mood of the area. Because let's face it, when they are frustrated and angry, often our anger and frustration is right there on the edge too. And we have to be careful about how we react and what we say and how we do things. So the calm down jar is a really valuable way of helping children to calm down. And it has the plus effect of helping us calm down and say the right words and do the right actions, because we know that we don't have to make a decision right in the moment, but we can hold off a little while. This is a little something for us, which I found from Dr. Becky Bailey, and you may remember her from Conscious Discipline. Fantastic. We've had a conversation about Conscious Discipline before. I've seen this quote recently, but I don't know where it's come from. I'm sure it's part of her course or things that she's doing, but it's something I think that we should have as parents around. It's a really good way of reflecting on things, and it's called the Seven Powers. So if anybody knows where it's from, which part of her course or which bit that it is added to, I would love to know. Please let me know. And it goes like this, the Seven Powers. Number one, the power of perception. No one can make you mad without your permission. Number two, the power of unity. We are all in this together. Number three, the power of attention. What you focus on, you get more of. And number four, the power of free will. The only person you can make change is yourself. Number 5, the power of love. See the best in others. Number 6, the power of acceptance. The moment is as it is. Number 7, power of intention. Conflict is an opportunity to teach. I think if you looked at that at the start of every morning, we would all have better days if we remember some of these 7 powers that we all have and choices that we can make. Now, none of us are perfect, and I know that we can't always do them, but it really helps to ground ourselves, I think, if we are raising these playful tots of ours, to be able to separate our emotions from the situation that's unfolding and unraveling in front of us. So I absolutely love these 7 powers because it really reminds us how we are to be present and how we are to be careful about the focus that we give to things. We try and be positive here on Raising Playful Tots. We try and share things that you can do, but it also requires us to do those things and not to just listen and think, you know, yeah, that sounds kind of good, that sounds about right, but it's actually to focus on change and making those changes happen so that our children can have these fun and important early childhood experiences. And the last thing I wanted to share with you along the frustration and anger times is the safe place breathing icons. Now, in our family, we're working at the moment on what we do when we're feeling angry and frustrated. And instead of balling up our hands and keeping all the anger inside, alternative ways of getting rid of that anger that's suitable for where we are and the situation that we're in. Now, it's really difficult to contain anger and to control it, especially when you're really young. And in the moment of the anger and the frustration, often isn't the time to be telling them how to do that. Well, we all know that for ourselves, but it's really tricky when it actually happens. Our instinct is just to say, stop doing that. You know, whether that's stomping their feet or banging the wall or what, throwing things, but it's actually to teach them before then what to do. And so in our home, we have a hallway mirror, and in the mirror there is a fantastic poster that I got from Dr. Becky Bailey's site, Conscious Discipline, that I downloaded, that gives 4 different ways to be able to calm down. And so these are safe places where you can stand and calm down and find ways to calm down. Now, there are many, many ways that you can calm down, and you probably have lots of different ways for your family. We do too, but this is something that we've started to have. And so when the children get to a point of exploding and or the lead up to it that you can start to see it coming along, you can safely divert them and say, you know, I can see that you're getting upset about this. I think you need to do some of the calming down activities. Maybe you need to go to the mirror. Now, if you catch them early enough and they decide to go over to the mirror, that might be a way of effectively choosing one of the 4 things to do. And the 4 activities are quite funny and amusing to do. And so if once you learn what the names are, you can actually say them, and they're good triggers to be able to try and do something. Now, to get those ideas going, we practiced in normal time when they were happy and fine. And we went over to the mirror and we looked at them. Everybody could see it. It was the right height. They understood what it meant. We practiced it. We tried to do the actions. And so we had a lot of fun doing it at the time. And so since then, when they get angry and frustrated, they're either sent to go over there. Sometimes they don't go or won't go, or they choose to go over there for themselves, and they actually try and calm down. And we have seen a drastic reduction in the amount of time that they're angry and frustrated, and the escalation that that usually took of dropping and banging other things, and then how it impacted the other children and the other situation and made us all kind of crazy. We've seen that the children are learning to control themselves and being able to process what's going on and redirect that into words that they want to express. And that's just been a pure gift to be able to have. And so having a spot in our house, it's on our mirror in our hallway, where they can go to, and everybody knows if somebody's over there, leave them alone. And you can focus on calming down and trying to calm down. That's been perfect. We also have a chart about whole body listening. I have three floppy boys who love to talk, but their listening skills, sometimes you think that they're really not with you. They're playing with different things in their hands, on their bodies, their posture, they fall over, they push things over. You're having a conversation, and like with lots of children, you end up going off on a tangent because you can't believe what they've been doing when you were having a conversation about something else, and then you start ranting and raving and all sorts of things happen. Well, we found another poster online, which I'll link to in the show notes, about whole body listening. And I'm sure it's something that people use in schools and in homeschool situations. If children know what their hands should be doing when they are listening, if they know where their eyes and what their ears are supposed to be doing, what their body is supposed to be doing, where their legs are supposed to be, then it makes it a lot easier. And it's also another trigger word. So when I'm talking to my boys and they are talking to me, we're having a good old jolly time, and then they start getting distracted and start leaning on things and doing things, I can say, come on, let's do our whole body listening. And that kind of reminds them about, oh, these four things I have to remember to do, rather than stop touching that, take your finger out of your ear, put that down, don't drop it, have you broken it? And before you know it, it's kind of escalated into this other area. So we have those two posters downstairs on our mirror, hallway mirror, and both of them have been good places, because we go past them all the time, to refer the kids to as they're getting ready to go out the door. They look in the mirror, plus they get to look at the whole body listening chart as well for them to have a look at. And it's really helped us to be able to see the kids progressing. They feel a lot happier at knowing what's expected of them. They know that when they're listening, they're supposed to be doing these types of things, and they're trying really hard to do it. And like all of these things, it's trial and error. These are the things that have worked for us in our family, and it's been through trying different things. And of course, not all of the calm down ideas will work for all of the children all of the time, but just having a bag of different ideas to keep trying has really, really helped us. So I hope that through these suggestions that we've talked about, that you will be able to have some really good times with your children and be able to support them through this school term. We've looked at plan ahead moments, things that you can do to make life for them easier and life for you easier. We've looked at do-it-yourself things where you have been able to observe what's currently happening or what happened last year and what you can do differently. And we've looked at those frustration and anger times, and I hope I've given you a few tools and a few tips for you to try in your homes to see how it fares with your family. You can listen to Raising Playful Tots while you're on the move by choosing Stitcher. Stitcher is a free app available for your smartphone. Downloading this app is really quick and easy. Enter TOTS, that's T-O-T-S, during registration to be entered to win in their monthly draw. Then you'll receive the latest episode right there waiting for you of Raising Playful Tots. Not just that, but you can discover hundreds of other popular new shows. You can find all of this by visiting stitcher.com/TOTS. That's stitcher.com/TOTS. So now it's time for a little bit of a catch up. We have finished with summer. We are officially in September, and although it's not quite autumn yet, it's feeling a little cooler here, even though it's nice and bright and sunny. The UK has had a fantastic, fabulous summer this year, and I hope wherever you are in the world, and you are all over the world, have had a really good time with the kids, however long your break has been, and that you are really enjoying the next part of your play adventure. You'll have noticed that the podcasts were fewer and far between. That's partly because I was writing the Creating a Family Haven course, and I wanted to honour my time online and my time away from the children and not spend huge amounts of time doing both. And to do the course and to write it and to sort out all the back end with the membership site, because I was doing it myself, I had a huge learning curve. Absolutely loved the whole process and the process of going through it, but it meant that it would consume a lot of my time. And so unfortunately, I wasn't able to get the shows out as I thought that I would. And also I experienced lots of technical difficulties as I put something in and then that would break my site and I would try and undo what I did, but it's not as easy as undoing what you did to bring everything back, as I learned quite a few times during the summer. So my apologies for that, but we will be coming back to a regular schedule now. So those of you that knew about this were those of you that already signed up to the newsletter. You were there and you knew that what was happening, because I was able to share some of those things during there. So if you're not, then you need to come over and sign up. And the easiest way to do that is raisingplayfultots.com/subscribe. That's the easiest way for you to get there. Now, not only do we talk about upcoming shows and what's happened, so you know, we talk about simple parenting ideas. I have a series that I go through and I share with you experiences and practical tips that you can see and do there. I talk about new things that you can learn from other people that I think are really worth subscribing to. And I give you lots of behind the scenes information about upcoming projects and giveaways and things like that that's there. So it's well worth being part of the newsletter there. And so talking more about the newsletter, I'm revising it a little bit more and also sharing with you the work that I'm doing over at Play Activities. As most of you know, my youngest son turned 5 this year, and Play Activities has been a site where I have gone through all 3 of my children up until the age of 5. Well, my last one was 5 during the summer, and we went to Legoland to celebrate. And now that means that Play Activities is without little guys in the same way. And so we've changed that and we've begun a new chapter over there on the Play Activities site. And I've written about that in a post called New Chapter. And so through the Raising Playful Tots newsletter, I will be sharing the blog posts and ideas from over there, plus all of those other things that we've just been talking about, Raising Playful Tots. So I'm renaming it the Raising Playful Tots Note. So sometimes I'll talk about the note and sometimes I might talk about the newsletter, but it's the same thing. It's a way of bringing it all together and sharing what's happening over on the Play Activities site and sharing the things that are happening here in the podcast, because some of us like to read, some of us like to listen, and some of us like to do both, but at different times. So I just want to combine those two opportunities for you to be able to check those both out there. I mentioned earlier that the Creating a Family Haven course has started. I have a lovely merry band of explorers that are on the beta group who met me in the clearing, as we're calling it, and they're now creating their family haven. I am so excited to be working with this merry band, and this was a beta launch, and I'm testing out these new systems that I was tearing my hair out through the summer with. So they're helping to check out whether everything is right, because I'm going for a later launch later on this year, perhaps October time. So you need to stay tuned if you're in the note. See, I got the right word this time. If you're in the note, for you to find out when that's going, because we'll have a special subscriber price. So you really should check that out. We actually have a special newsletter for those of you that just want to be on the Creating a Family Haven online course. You want to know more about that, keep up to date with what's going on there. You can sign up to raisingplayfultots.com/myfamilyhaven. If you'd like to keep up to date on everything else that goes here and know when things go wrong or when things go right or sales or special things that happen, then you need to be on the Raising Playful Tots note, which is at raisingplayfultots.com/subscribe. Lastly, I wanted to share with you that I was featured on a podcast this week, another podcast from a listener, Kathy Stowell, over at Bliss Beyond Nap Time. You remember Kathy, she came on and gave an amazing interview all about rhythm. I know you loved it, and so I was really excited when she asked if I could come on to her show. She has a new show, Bliss Beyond Nap Time. Check it out in iTunes. I'm show number 6, and I'm on there talking about how we do our parenting, our simple parenting, and how we create our family haven here at home. And so I think that Kathy is absolutely fantastic. Questions are really clear. She's had some amazing, amazing interviewees already, and it's just fantastic to get to know people a lot more. You're able to talk differently when you're on somebody else's show than when you're on your own show. And so if you want to know a little bit more about how we do and what things that we do, you're curious about Kathy and how she's doing her Bliss Beyond Nap Time podcast, and you just want some loveliness and you want some sparkle and some comfort and some joy, then nip on over to her site and check that out, blissbeyondnaptime.com. And she's also in iTunes, so check her out there. Well, I think we are all caught up. I'm really excited to be back podcasting, and I have some fantastic, have I said fantastic a lot? I think I have. I have some really cool guests lined up to interview more early childhood play activities and information for us to try with our families. If you like the show, please help spread the word by telling your friends, or maybe you want to leave a review for us on iTunes, or give us a thumbs up on Stitcher or your podcast mobile app. You can find us on Pinterest, where we're pinning play activities, parenting, intentional ways in which we can connect with our kids. You might want to like us on Facebook, and thank you so much. We are over 2,000 of you regularly communicate and connect over there on Facebook. I'm so excited to go past that 2,000 milestone, and it's really exciting to be able to chat with you at different times during the day, posting different questions, and people are responding, and we're getting to know each other, and it's really cool. So until next week, you've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 143. Come on over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye.